You have just tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And the voice you're listening to is Linda Sims, and the name of this program is called A Voice of a People. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn and search WWGH on any electronic device, cell phone, iPad, or your computer, or whatever else you may be able to get the Wi-Fi on. Remember, free app called TuneIn and search WWGH. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson. Address 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement, free produce market every second Saturday of every month. And if you just, they just had it Saturday past. If you missed it, now you have to wait till next month, September. The time, 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. Location, once again, Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. All you need to do is show up and give the number of people in your family. Inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And I have some words of wisdom coming from Linda, which is I. Don't quote me on it because I didn't come up with all of these sayings. I pick them up here and there. But I did want to share this with you today. Never complain. Never explain. Resist the temptation to defend yourself or make excuses. Because sometimes, you know, when you get into making all those excuses, sometimes they end up being lies because you're trying to make it sound so good while you didn't do a certain thing. So let's just try to accept things for as they are. And if other people have a problem with it, then I feel like that's their problem. I couldn't make it because something came up, okay? But sometimes we do not need to explain exactly what came up to just anybody and everybody. So just remember those words of wisdom. Now, I have my guest with me today, Tim Combs, who is a political historian. I call him that. And he's also a former history teacher of the Marion City Schools here in Marion, Ohio, and also has run for office himself. But I rely on him because he really keeps up with everything that's going on political. And how are you today, Tim?
Great. Good to be here. Good, yeah. Nice day.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
We've had a pretty good summer so far.
Yeah. It's winding down towards fall, but school's about ready to get back in session here the next few weeks. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the kiddies probably aren't so excited about that, yeah, but... Yeah. They have to go to school, right?
Yeah, that's true. Education is important.
Oh, how important is it? Oh, my. Yes, it is. And I really have to tip my hat off to our Marion City in Marion County. They have really upped the ante on keeping our young people busy, you know, at the library and the summer pool that we have here. Yeah. And the free lunch programs that they've had, you know, so it keeps them kind of busy and out of trouble.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, that is good. And that's very important, yeah, too. Very important. So how have you been this summer?
Well, I've been very good. Been busy, family, businesses and so forth, and watching grandchildren and all that. So, yeah, vacation down in the East Tennessee Pigeon Forge area here for a few days in July. So,
okay, you did take a trip.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. I didn't get a trip this year so far. Glad you got yours, though.
Yeah.
That's good.
That was nice.
That's good. That's good. So what's going on in the political world?
Well, there's a whole lot of things happening. And, of course, we're looking towards the fall elections now and so forth. But as I'm sure all your listeners are aware of, we just had a special election just last Tuesday in the 12th congressional district, which actually borders where we're at. It actually includes a portion of Marion County.
Mm-hmm.
This is an election that was necessitated by the fact that Pat Tiberi, the previous congressperson, resigned back in January, took a job as the executive director or president of the Ohio Business Roundtable.
Okay.
So under the Constitution, U.S. Constitution, the governor of the state has to call a special election. Well, I should say he or she doesn't have to, but depending on the time of the year and so forth, they should call a special election to fill the seat.
Right.
And Governor Kasich went ahead and decided to go ahead and schedule the primary election for the seat in connection with Ohio's regular primary back in May. And then the general election runoff was scheduled for this last Tuesday, which is the usual date for special elections in Ohio.
Okay.
And so that election was held. It got a lot of publicity, certainly a lot of TV ads that we saw over the last few weeks. Let me just talk about the district itself.
Okay.
It is made up of all or parts of seven counties. The three complete counties that are in the district are Delaware, Licking, and Morrow counties.
Okay.
Then in addition, there were parts of four other counties. Franklin, which is Columbus. Marion, which is a small portion of southeast portion of Marion County. We were actually are the least, the smallest part of the district.
Okay.
Muskingum County, which is the Zanesville area, and Richland County, which is over the part of Mansfield.
Mansfield,
just
yes.
Parts of those counties. The candidates who won both the nominations back in May, both for this, the election last Tuesday was for the unexpired term, essentially for the rest of this calendar year. And then they also won the nomination for the full term to be decided at the November election,
okay,
and for the seat that will take office in January. The Republican candidate was State Senator Troy Balderson, who's from the Zanesville area, represents, and he was in the Muskingum part of the district that is in this district.
Okay.
The Democratic candidate is Danny O'Connor, who is currently the Franklin County Recorder. He was elected to that office 2 years ago. And there was also a Green Party candidate for the minor Green Party, Joe Manichek, I believe is how he pronounces his name. Election got a lot of national publicity. I mean, there were reporters.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, something like $7 million between the candidates and the various groups.
For areas
spent on the race.
Local to
yes.
us, right? Oh.
And
wow.
National television was in on it. I mean, it was just, it got a whole lot of publicity. This is a district that had gone for Donald Trump by about 11 points 2 years ago.
Okay.
It is a district that Republicans have more or less controlled for most of the last 80, 90 years. With the exception of one lone Democratic win back in 1980, it had been a seat which the Republicans have held consistently. Charlie Cook of the Cook Political Report, puts together what he calls his PVI, Partisan Voter Index.
Mm-hmm.
And he indicates if you had a neutral zero thing, how much Republican or how Democratic a seat is. And he gave this seat about a +7 Republican edge,
okay,
that a Republican should normally win by about 7-8 points on this seat. Well, as things began to unfold over these last weeks and the TV ad and so forth, it was becoming increasingly clear that the race was going to be extremely close,
mm-hmm,
much closer than you would normally expect,
right,
for a seat that would should be, frankly, we shouldn't even have been talking about it or even thinking about it. But it got very close. Based on the unofficial results that were counted up last Tuesday, Republican Troy Balderson is leading by 1,564 votes. Actually, the margin had been 1,754 on Tuesday night. Wednesday afternoon, or Wednesday, the Franklin County Board of Elections, which is a portion of the Columbus suburbs,
okay,
are in that district. Actually, it is also the most populous part of the district. So anyone, all the candidates, reports, and petitions have to be filed with the Franklin County Board of Elections. They do a routine audit the day after an election to just make sure everything's votes are tabulated. Well, it turned out there were three precincts in the Worthington area, and they, I'm not quite sure how they do this, but apparently they, their precincts send their results to a regional computer, mm-hmm. and then they forward them on to the main computer at the Franklin County Board of Elections in it's actually on Morris Road in Columbus.
Okay.
Turns out three precincts were not tabulated, were not included in the results, and they were sold. 588 votes were found to have not been tabulated. When those votes were tabulated, Mr. O'Connor, who was the Franklin County candidate, ended up picking up 398 votes, Senator Baldwin 198, and then there were a couple of votes for the Green Party candidate.
Right.
So the result was the Republican margin was cut by 190 votes from 1754 down to 1564.
Wow.
There are still, in addition, 8,483 absentee and provisional votes that have not been counted. Now, the 5,048 absentee votes are votes that were cast the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before the election. Because election officials would have got their supplies on Saturday, mm-hmm. they would have had the absentee votes up through Friday before the election.
Right.
Those other votes were not counted yet. It would be included in what they call the official count. We have the unofficial count now. There's what they call the official count, which is when all these other votes will be tabulated, and they go back and check to make sure there is, so on. Also, you have some people who might have actually had their ballot for several weeks, but want to wait till the end to vote, and they weren't sure about the mail, so they actually may have cast their ballot and then actually literally hand-carried it into their respective county board of elections office in one of these seven counties. And as long as the board had it by 7:30 on election day, the ballot would be
still good,
counted.
Right?
So we have 5,048 absentee ballots that need to be counted yet. In addition, there are 3,435 provisional ballots. These are ballots of maybe somebody who had moved, maybe hadn't changed their voting address, and they're registered and they're entitled to vote, but they had not changed address. So what they can do is they go ahead and cast the provisional ballot, mm-hmm. they change their address, and then they'll go ahead and count their ballot later on after the official ballot.
Okay.
Or possibly somebody may have got an absentee ballot, but they're not sure that it got in the mail, so they'll come, they'll cast a provisional ballot, and then what happens is the board, when they go to make their checks, will check whether or not the ballot was received before,
right.
and then the provisional will not count and so forth. All right, what happens in Ohio, we do this a little different in Ohio than they do other states.
Okay.
These 8,483 provisional and absentee ballots that have not been counted, they cannot count those before the Saturday of this week. There's a 10-day period afterwards. Also, some people who have provisional ballots, they have to come in and prove that they were supposed to be able to register to vote in that area. They have until 4 o'clock this Friday to do that. Plus, there might be some overseas ballots, military, mm-hmm. maybe a civilian ballot outside the United States. They have to be received by 4 o'clock this, this Friday. So starting this Saturday, theoretically, these boards can begin counting up these votes. More than likely, they will likely wait until next Monday to get that process.
Right.
But the bottom line is, they have to have this done by Friday, August 24th, so that they can certify official count.
So that's next Friday.
A week from Friday. A week from Friday, this coming Friday. What happens is, these other county boards, Marion, Morrow, Muskingum, Richland, and Delaware, when they complete their official count, mm-hmm. then they will report all those results to the Franklin County Board, because they're what is referred to as the controlling board. In other words, they are the most populous. The way Ohio works is the most populous county or part of county that is the most populous in a district is where all the results have to be funneled to that board. Okay. So in this case, it's the Franklin County Board of Elections in Columbus. And then the Franklin County Board, on Friday the 24th, after they have all these reports from the other counties, they complete their process, they will be able to give the official count. Now, of these 8,480-some uncounted ballots,
okay.
most, if not all, of the absentees should be counted. It'll be very little problem with that. Where it happens, it will be some of the provisionals probably will not get counted. Maybe 90% of them will end up being counted out of the 8,400 and some so maybe like 8,000 or so of these ballots should be counted.
Right.
Now, frankly, some of the media, I think, have kind of jumped to the conclusion that Mr. Baldwin won the race. The only thing you can definitively say is he is leading. He's not. In fact, the Associated Press has not called close to call because of any balance.
Right.
I have sat down and done some calculations so far. First of all, based on the fact that Mr. O'Connor did very well in the early voting, votes were cast before Election Day. In fact, something like 63% of that vote.
Okay.
Why would his support then in the other early ballots not be at the same level? What I'm saying to you is this, and I know I'm going to somewhat out on a limb on this. I believe Mr. O'Connor has won the race. We just don't know it yet.
Okay.
And won't know it until the 24th of August. Now, maybe about several hundred votes, and probably it will be less than half a percentage point,
right,
which means we'll trigger an automatic recount. But frankly, all the automatic recount will do is, because these are all counties that use the touchscreen ballot, it'll simply confirm the official ballot. There might be a one or two vote difference if there's even that.
Right.
I will go back 10 years ago when I was a member of the Marion County Board of Elections on the election in 2008.
Right.
On that night, Sheriff Tim Bailey, the Democratic sheriff, was running for re-election as sheriff. He was opposed by, first name was Russ, whatever. Election night, Mr. Bailey was down 90 votes on the total unofficial results. But there were also uncounted absentee and provisional ballots for Marion County Sheriff, Marion County. We had the numbers that were given to us as board members as to how many of those ballots were absentees and recounted and so forth. So I just went down at the time and did some calculations. And basically what I concluded after I did some calculations was that Tim Bailey had in fact been reelected by about maybe 45, 50 votes.
Right.
And then when all the votes were tabulated.
Yeah.
And sure enough, when all the votes were tabulated, he ended up getting reelected by, I think I was off a few votes.
Right,
but it was
but
close
not many.
Enough. And so forth. So I think that once all the ballots are tabulated, they're going to be tabulated, I think Mr. Connor's going to end up winning by possibly several hundred votes.
Okay.
And it is, as I say, there may be a recount. The bottom line is this. This election and other similar special elections, the Connor Lamb Democratic victory in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm, the Senator Doug Jones victory in Alabama last December in that Senate election, the Republican Party is in deep trouble. This should not be a race that they should be losing. In fact, David Wasserman, a gentleman named David Wasserman, who is the expert, House expert for Charles Cook Political Report, is considered to be the leading expert on House elections in the country,
okay,
has said that the average Democratic overperformance has been about 8 percentage points. If they were to do that across the country, they would gain 81 House seats. Now, that likely is not going to happen that way because of other things. Mm-hmm. But even if they just gain half that,
right,
all they need is 23 to get the majority. And I think the general consensus has been that the House of Representatives will go under Democratic control in January. And very possibly the Senate also.
That's good, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and frankly, I think that the American people want a restoration of checks and balances.
Yes, of course.
Our system has gotten way out of whack.
Yes.
And, in fact, Devin Nunes, who's one of the Republican congressmen from California, has said it's the option to keep the Republican majority in the House to protect Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not why you do it. Yesterday's Columbus Dispatch, a gentleman by the name of Michael Gerson, G-E-R-S-O-N, he is a writer for the Washington Post.
Okay.
Actually, Mr. Gerson is a conservative Republican. But the headline in yesterday's column is, "Only hope for the GOP's soul is a Democratic House." He's, in fact, although he's a Republican, has urged people around him, people in his area, to vote for their Democratic House members. George Will, another conservative Republican thing, has said, we need a Democratic House of Representatives to be a check on this president.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And a restore. Now, they'd like to see the Senate stay under Republican control, but I think that what is referred to as the large blue wave,
right,
is going to be such that the Senate will also flip over to Democratic control also. It'll be close, because there are more Republican seats up, or Democratic seats up than Republican seats.
Okay.
But a lot of those Democratic seats are not anything that are close, but there are some close races. But I think a Democratic tide is building in the country,
mm-hmm,
and a number of governorships, hopefully in Ohio, Rich Cordray's election for governor and so forth will, because again, there needs to be a restoration of control in Columbus. I mean, we've had a one-party rule. And frankly, there's a English political scientist by the name of Lord Acton from, mm-hmm, about 300 years ago. and he made a famous comment at the time. He said that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. And that's
and we're seeing that, and that is very true. You know, we're
but let's maybe just talk about Mr. Gerson's comment here for a moment, and he has various comments here, but in talking about the need for, frankly, a Democratic House of Representatives,
okay.
that and I'm going to just read a portion of it. He says, perhaps worst of all, a victorious Trump, meaning if the Republicans were to keep the House,
okay.
will complete his takeover of the Republican Party. Even murmured dissent will be silenced. The GOP will be fully committed to a 2020 presidential campaign of racial division, of rural slash urban division, of religious division, of party division that mesmerizes into mutual contempt. And then his final paragraph is this. Perhaps, but this is, does not change the political and ethical reality. The only way to save the GOP is to defeat it in the House. In this case, a Republican vote for a Democratic representative would be an act of conscience, almost an act of preservation of our democracy.
So what they're saying is, if this doesn't happen, then the Trump presidency will take over the Republican Party. And
there's this right now within the Republican Party. Mr. Trump is apparently very popular, whatever.
Yeah.
There's another close contest actually for a Republican nomination for governor out in Kansas between a man who Mr. Trump endorsed and a gentleman who the current governor who apparently didn't have Mr. Trump's support.
Okay.
And that race is even closer than this one is. And it's still undecided at this point, almost a week after the primary.
Right.
And likely it will end up in a recount also. Now, I don't know what procedures they use in Kansas, but so we are in a situation where there are some real concerns.
Yes.
Yesterday's demonstrations about, because of course, the year after the Charlottesville that happened. And it's interesting, last year that terrible demonstration in Charlottesville where the young lady was killed, and actually the driver of the car was a man from Maumee outside of Toledo.
Right.
And he faced, of course, criminal charges. And last year, Virginia elects their state officials in the odd year.
Okay.
So last year was the governor's election for Virginia, along with the lieutenant governor, attorney general, their legislature. And there were them, the Republican candidate, Ed Gillespie, tried to run almost a mini-Trump campaign in Virginia. Well, on election night, and some people actually even thought the day before the election that Ms. Gillespie might win.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. Election night, there was a large, large blue wave in Virginia. Democrats swept all three of the state offices. They already had them, swept them again, but particularly in what they call the House of Delegates, which would be like our State House of Representatives.
Right.
Democrats picked up 15 seats. The number of Republican delegates were swept out of office.
Good.
And, what's happened in Virginia is a situation where the northern Virginia suburbs bordering Washington, D.C. have become flipped over Democratic. There's another group that also has really changed. And this group as a whole has generally been a Republican-leaning group, but since 2016 has flipped Democratic. And that group is made up of white, college-educated women, has shifted heavily Democratic. That's what you saw in Franklin County.
Right.
Mr. O'Connor carried that portion of Franklin County that's in the 12th district by 31 points.
Okay.
And Delaware County has a lot of, obviously, many of those people. His margin was enough in Delaware County, but not what usually would be for a normal Republican candidate.
True.
And even if Mr. O'Connor were to fall this short, and again, these two gentlemen are going to meet again in the fall election.
Okay.
Because right now the Congress is in recess anyhow. Should Mr. O'Connor or Mr. Biden, whoever gets elected, they'll take office shortly after Labor Day. They'll only serve the rest of the year, and then they have to run against each other again in the fall election. Now, obviously, the race won't get the kind of attention that it did as a special election in August, because it'll be part of the whole general national election.
Wow.
But, but I think, like I said, I could be proven wrong, but I believe when all the votes are tabulated and so forth, that Mr. O'Connor will end up winning by a few hundred votes. And some of the media that are going to have to kind of eat some of the words they've sort of thought that Mr. Balderson was going to end up. They didn't think he could be, that right. kind of margin could be overturned. But actually, it's not that you know, big margin.
That's
when
true.
You consider all the votes that were cast. So.
Wow. Like I say, you know your stuff, Tim. Yeah. I call you the political historian because you know your stuff. I mean, your predictions are right on spot, you know,
well,
because
we
watch and you have watched over the years and you know what you're talking about. Yeah. You know, a lot of us, like, we get bits and pieces here and there. We're not really, you know, that into it. But I really appreciate you coming on and making it clear. But I do understand. I do really want at least a balance of power, and I'm sure I'm not by myself.
You know, we have a system of checks and balances, and right
yeah.
now the it's interesting in American history, over the years of political history, the balance at times has shifted way out of
true,
balance
true.
From what it is. But inevitably, the American political system does swing back the other way,
mm-hmm.
and it does, you know. But there are some real concerns. I mean, there's things about Russian interference and in the about tampering with election results or whatever,
yeah,
that
yeah.
sort of thing. And, you know, and people have to be very careful of this. And I know election officials are trying to do things to make sure that does not happen. And there have been just a number of stories about that. And this president's being close to Mr. Putin and the guy in North Korea and, you know, just whatever. So it's
can you believe that?
Yeah. So that's where
how
all
close he
from.
And Putin are. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I mean, out of all the presidents we've had in the United States, yeah. he's, what, 45? Number 45?
Yes,
president?
45, yeah.
The only one who basically kind of bows down to Russia and,
yeah.
and whatever. And it's hard for people to understand why that type of relationship. You know?
And, of course, you have the ongoing investigation by Robert Mueller and his federal grand jury in D.C. about the Russian influence. And there are some things I think the next few weeks are going to pop on that. I think we're going to see some. I would not be surprised in the next, between now, maybe end of August, December, some additional indictments of some people. And some of them are going to be very close to Mr. Trump.
Wow.
Could be some family members even, so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think some people are going to be indicted that are, let me say, even members of his family, so.
And, you know, the thing about that to me is it really wasn't a secret because everything they were doing was out front in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just was. And it's like all of a sudden people really don't believe it now. We got to go into these deep investigations and Mueller and... they've already indicted how many people?
Oh, yeah, a number of people who have been there, and some of the Russian individuals and others been as Paul Manafort trial
yes,
and so
Manafort.
Forth, and others that have been in. So, but yeah, it's a interesting time to say the least.
Yes,
so.
It is. How do you rate our president at this
well,
time compared to others?
It is sad. And again, remember, I think one of the basic facts you have to remember is he did not get a majority of the popular vote. He actually had 3 million fewer votes than Hillary Clinton did. But what he did was the way the votes fell in three key states,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, allowed him to get the electoral vote, which is what elected the president. And, I mean, it was almost, the system almost misfired, if you will.
Yeah.
And then, again, if you take a look at the total votes, Hillary Clinton had 48%, Donald Trump had 46%,
mm-hmm.
and you had another 6% that went for the various third-party candidates, the two biggest ones being the gentleman who was the gentleman named Gary Johnson, a former New Mexico governor, who was the Libertarian Party candidate,
right.
and Dr. Joel Stein, who was the Green Party candidate. They together got about, I think, like 4% or so of that, 6%. And then the other 2% was a variety of third-party candidates. But anyhow, you take that 6% that was the third party vote, you add it to the 48% that Hillary Clinton got, that's 54% of the people did not vote for Mr. Trump.
True.
46%.
True.
And it's very interesting. The Gallup poll, there are various polls that deal with presidential approval.
Mm-hmm.
The Gallup poll is one considered to be the gold standard in this thing. And just today, their latest numbers out today from this last week, has Mr. Trump's approval rate at 39%. His disapproval 56%.
Okay.
These numbers have tracked almost exactly over the last 17, 18 months of his presidency. They've already moved a few points here or there or whatever, But, right. Yeah, they have just, they've tracked. But frankly, this last week, this is the first time he's actually fallen below the 40%. He'd been about 40, he'd been kind of moving along at the 40% level now for a number of weeks. It's the first time he's actually fallen below the 40% level.
Okay.
And so now you got a 17-point gap. And what we know is that when a president, in particular a midterm election like this, has approval rating that low, their party takes takes a bath. Takes a bath because it tracks very closely to what happens with that. And it's so I'm sure many Republicans, this is the reason many Republican House members have decided not to run for re-election.
Right.
They see what's coming down the road. Mm-hmm. Others are, I mean, they're you take over what's called the money election. Many Democrats are out raising their Republicans for money raises. And, I mean, this race here, I mean, this is incredible. There should not even been a close race. And here it is, you know, in Republican heartland, because there's a lot of other House districts that are less Republican than this. Mm-hmm. You have, like, the 23 House Republican House members who sit in congressional districts that Hillary Clinton carried.
Right.
Most of those people are going to be gone and come January. They're going to get either they're not running for re-election, or if they are, they're likely going to get bumped out of office.
Right. And so, there's been such contention since our new president.
Yeah.
Every time there's an election, it seems to be such contention about it. You got to check, you got to double check, triple check. You know what I'm saying? Like four times check to see who really got the votes, who really is the winner. And it just seems to be, it didn't used to be that hard for us to come up with who has won the election. But like you said, now they're up in arms now about who won this last election. And I want to ask you this. Do you think that America is ready for a female president? Who would you think that it would be?
Well, Hillary Clinton came extremely close. Mm-hmm. Ever. That day is coming. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it'll be the next election, much after that, but that day is going to come. The question for many, many years, I remember as a kid or years ago, would America first have a black president or a woman president? Mm-hmm. Turned out we ended up with a black president first. The woman president is going to come right behind it. And the irony was, back 10 years ago, the two major candidates for the Democratic nomination was a woman and a black man.
Right.
You know, and it was that. So the time is it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. It may not be Hillary Clinton. It'll be somebody else.
Yeah, I don't think she would want to run again.
Well, I think her time has passed. I mean, that, you know. Yeah. But you've got another number of other women political leaders who are emerging that are out there that are going to make a name for themselves. And so
right. So do you think that President Trump will be reelected? We're getting ready.
You know, actually, at this point, I've not really thought about it. We'll get through this election. Then after this election's over, I mean, obviously, if we get into early 2019, you're all going to begin. I mean, I can tell you the day after this election, they're all going to be the trips to New Hampshire or Iowa or whatever are all going to begin and whatever and so forth. And we'll, you know, this time next year, we'll be probably well into that process.
Because a lot of people didn't think he'd make it this far, and we're getting ready to go into the third year of his presidency, 2019? Yeah.
But
I think he's going to make his 4 years. I do.
Yeah. Well, he will complete his first term, whether he gets the second term or not, obviously. Yeah,
a lot of people say, he's not going to get reelected. He's too old, but... Who was our oldest president besides him?
The oldest president, I believe, was Ronald Reagan. Reagan was the oldest president.
Now, how old was he at his last
time? Well, I think it was 72 or so.
72?
That I'm not sure about, the age part of that.
But, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Trump was already, what, 70?
I believe so. I think
71, 72? Because I think it was 70.
Teddy Roosevelt was our youngest person to be president under.
Really?
A lot of people think John F. Kennedy. Well, John F. Kennedy was the youngest person ever to be elected president.
Okay.
But the youngest person to be president under any circumstances still was Teddy Roosevelt. He was only 42. Oh. Of course, he took over after President McKinley was assassinated, and he then became president. So.
Hmm. Wow. I'll tell you, politics is something else. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people who may be listening. I told you, Tim knows his stuff. He is the historian politically, mm-hmm. and He's run for office himself here in the past, what, 2 years ago, wasn't it, or three?
About 3 years ago, actually.
3 years ago, yeah. So, you know, he knows what he's saying. He knows what he's doing. And health care.
Yes.
Talk to you about that.
That issue is going to be is actually already a really big issue. Actually, one of the big issues in O'Connor's campaign was about the matter of Medicare and so forth.
Yeah, the cuts are coming.
Well, that's I think that's going to be a big issue in the fall and in many congressional races. And some of the issues that Republicans want to push is insurance plans that actually have less coverage and so forth. And I don't think people are going to stand for that. I mean, I just think that's not going to. That's not going to fly, frankly. That's not going to fly. So
I hear a lot of insurance companies now are refusing to pay for a lot of things that Obamacare was paying for. And what happened to Obamacare?
Well, it's still a law, but there are attempts to try to undermine it. And I'm not totally familiar with all the terms of the health, because we were fortunate. My wife and I both have our individual health plans through our retirement. And so we're in good shape, but I mean, I know a lot of people are concerned about that.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got people out there working. You retire, you know, and they have families, and they're trying to make it, and it's just, I don't know, people feel that it's better to stay on assistance than to work. And that's sad when people come to that conclusion.
For instance, one of the things that Mr. Trump had talked about was more jobs in the pool industry. And just all yesterday's Columbus Dispatch, in Kentucky now, there's about 4% fewer coal jobs than there was a year ago at this time. The bottom line is, coal is an industry that is in deep trouble, has been declining for a number of years.
Right.
Natural gas is much more efficient.
Yes.
Whatever. And that's what, you know, it's just what it is.
And better for atmosphere, too.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You know.
Yeah.
So, and so, I mean, you've got those issues out there also. So, of course, the tariffs now, the thing, I mean, all these farmers, these soybeans and corn, I mean, none of them are very concerned.
Right, I heard that the farmers were really
hungry. And also, frankly, some of the steel industry is concerned because of the tariffs being thrown up. I am really concerned that that the way it was going, we could be in a recession a year from now. If we're in a recession a year from now, much trouble whether he was reelected or not, that'll do him in. That would do him in.
But he did so great given the Republicans' tax cuts.
Yeah, well. And actually, that issue has not worked the way the Republicans thought it was going to work. It's kind of backfired.
They knew how it was going to work.
Yeah.
That's not the first time they've had tax cuts. It just takes from people like me, you know, and others who are really struggling trying to make life be life the best that they can. And, you know, they want to take our little pennies and put them in their pocket and send their children to these exquisite schools and buy yachts and go around the world on vacations and things like that. Yeah. And it baffles me to think we've been on this rodeo before. It's not our first time. Mm-hmm. When a Republican is in power, that's what they do. Am I wrong?
Well, that's been, I mean.
Am I wrong?
A lot of things you say. You know, it's interesting. I find it interesting that the party that is supposed to be the party of business and so forth, yet every Republican president from Dwight Eisenhower on in the post-war era has had at least one recession.
Yeah.
Without fail.
Yes.
And Mr. Trump is obviously going to be, I think Mr. Trump wants to be continue that tradition that is going on for 70-some years now.
Right. And what is the reason?
Because, and, of course, the big one was the Great Depression that Herbert Hoover presided over initially in 1930. So
yes, and how close were we to that when George Bush was in office?
Well,
weren't we really?
We
close
got
to
well,
that?
Of course. In fact, last night CNN had what they call the original series talking about the 2000s, and they were looking back at the 08 presidential election and the disruption that happened in September of that year, and the banks issues and so forth,
car
and they had to get the rescue
industry,
It was a scary time. And then Barack Obama became president. He came in under probably the worst economic conditions since maybe Franklin D. Roosevelt had come in 1933.
He did. He really did.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to help him much, even though they did. They didn't have much choice.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give him exactly what he wanted, but they gave him something. to work
with. He was able to get a bill through the Congress.
Yes, yes. Because we were in dire straits.
Yeah, it was very scary in those weeks in September, October. I mean, that's when the stock market was dropping 500-700 points at a time.
Right.
A day or something.
Right. People were losing their homes.
It was a very scary situation.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes, it was. And I'm like, okay. So, and he spent a lot of time rebuilding that money in those industries and paying on the national debt.
And for instance, when I remember the ad, it was when he ran for election secretary in 2012, the young man or was in an automobile. He was an auto worker.
Right.
Because he had basically saved General Motors from going under, which would have, whatever.
Right.
And of course, Osama bin Laden had been taken out in May of 2009, mm-hmm. And or 2011, whatever it was, 2011, I guess it was.
Was it that far back?
And the line was, GM's alive and Osama bin Laden's dead.
That was their slogan.
Remember, Joe Biden used that consistently.
Yes, he did.
It would be very, very powerful line.
Yes, it did. And it was very powerful, even though, you know, a lot of people don't want to give President Barack Obama any credit.
Actually, his approval ratings have been strong, and they've gotten stronger. Yeah. So.
Really? So that's good. That's good to know. But, you know, we can't have him again.
No.
We're looking forward to who may step forward and want to be president, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that looks. I know Elizabeth Warren may be thinking about it.
I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, I think she'd like to stay in the Senate because she feels as a senator she can do more maybe there than possibly.
Well, possibly. Possibly so. But we're out of time, okay. Tim. Thank you once again. Mm-hmm. You have been listening to Tim Combs on A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And I have a show coming on at 5:15 until 6 p.m. So stay tuned. And so I'm back on the air. Be blessed. Thank you.
Okay. Well, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. Just listen to former star of the Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret, and I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought Marla, I wanted the M, so Marla Gibbs had a better rhythm to me.
Marla.
And so I don't know, that's why it was successful, but it was successful. So.
You're the only Marla I've ever known, and thank goodness, because you're one of a kind.
And there's two Marlas.
Oh, there is another Marla.
Yeah, Danny's daughter. No, that's Marlo.
Oh, that's right, Marlo.
They keep calling me Marlo sometimes. I say, no, that's Marlo Thomas. I said, Marlo has the money, and Marla is after it.
Do you regret not getting as many award Emmys, things like that? Does that ever factor in?
No, because I say the work is its own reward. You can't decide who's going to give you an award. But if you're doing the work, as long as you're appreciated for the work, I think that's the best. The awards are nice. I mean, it'd be nice if I got one, but I was up four times, so I was a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Marla, when you get a role today, you say you still do auditions. Does the money matter?
Yes, it does. Because I blew all my money. I won't say I blew it, but I owned the theater and I owned the Jazz Supper Club, so all the money went. So now, when I get a job, I do want to be paid.
Are the residuals good?
Well, they're not as exciting as everybody may. Oh, wait till you get residuals. I didn't see that. I got a residual for 3 cents.
Jeez.
And one for 9 cents. And I took them to the bank.
It's WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Look for us on Facebook by searching WWGH 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, and clicking like for exclusive content.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hi, I'm Angela Thomas with Marion Belltone Audiology and Hearing Care Center. It's a fact, hearing aids don't make you look older, but constantly saying what does. Why hide troubled hearing? Wear hidden hearing aids from Belltone and show the world a youthful you. Look confident. Hearing aids are now so tiny, they're virtually invisible. Stay healthy. Good hearing protects against memory problems and falls. 389-5566 to schedule your free hearing test.
The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
Tecumseh, captivating, fascinating, mesmerizing. Be sure to see this thrilling outdoor drama near Chillicothe, Ohio this summer. Over 2 million visitors have made this production an Ohio tradition. Visit TecumsehDrama.com today or call 740-775-0700 for information and reservations. Don't miss Tecumseh this summer.
This is Patty Worcester with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Hi, are you looking for a church that is Bible teaching and Bible believing? I invite you to Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We were at 209 East Water Street. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning. Evening service at 6:30, along with youth group at the same time. We do have a midweek service. You can reach us at 740-494-2222 or prospectccf.com. We'd love to have you come and visit. And get plugged in and see that there's true hope for tomorrow and hope in your life. God bless you. Have a good evening.
Dinosaurs. You've seen them in movies, TV shows, even textbooks. But what were they really like? Find out in Columbus at Kosci's American Museum of Natural History Dinosaur Gallery, an exhibit that will have you looking at dinosaurs in a whole new way. It's part of Kosci's unique partnership with New York's American Museum of Natural History, a collaboration that may have you seeing Kosci in a whole new way as well.
This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email Scott at WWGH1071.com. And watch out for the chopper.
Vanover Village Townhouses, located in Marysville, now renting 2 and 3 bedroom townhouses. Telephone number 937-642-3692.
This is Bob Bender. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And now a word from Charlie Evers and Scott Spears.
Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller here on WWGH?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Well, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle on WWGH.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments.